James chapter 2. Doesn't it just feel good to say that? And I know it does for me. I have enjoyed this study of the book of James. I hope you have as well as we go through these things. And it certainly does give us some thought as we go through these things. So if you'll stand out of love and respect for the word of God, we're going to read the first 13 verses here. And that's just about halfway there in the book of chapter 2, rather, of the book of James. And I'll read out loud and you follow along silently here in these first 13 verses. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring in goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you, and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by which ye are called? If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin, and are convinced of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law, and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy, that hath showed no mercy. And mercy rejoiceth against judgment. Now this is a very difficult subject, if you will. I think it's an easy subject. Let me give it to you easy. Just treat everybody the right way. That's easy, right? Treat everybody the right way. Golly, that's hard. Huh? It's tough. I know golly is a good Bible word. It's not. It's tough, isn't it? It's really difficult to not be a respecter of persons. Partiality is just kind of something that we human beings are kind of stuck with. We have people that we like and people we don't like. We have things that we like and things that we don't like. There's all kinds of things that lend to our partiality. That's what makes us human, I guess you could say, right? Because we know with God, there is no respecter of persons. Okay, so think about this. Before Adam and Eve fell, they were not respecter of persons. You say, well, that's easy because there are only two persons to respect. Okay, but do you understand? So this thing of the fall of mankind caused this issue, really. It didn't exist before. Because if God is no respecter of persons, right, it didn't exist with him. And if we're created in his image, then it shouldn't have existed with perfect man. But since man fell, what has happened here? Respecter of persons. We all do this, right? You see someone who looks the part, and most of the time you're favorable to that person. Okay, because they're clean, right? They maybe have a suit on, or they drive a nice car, or you know, whatever the case may be. But then we see someone who doesn't look the part, and we look down upon them. Or we have some maybe ill-conceived idea about their character, or they're just lazy, or they're, we pass judgment. That's what we're built like. Now, we have to fight hard not to do that, don't we? And that's what this is talking about. He says, brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. He says, if you're born again, and he uses that word brethren there, my brethren, these are people that are born again, they're saved. He says, don't be saved and do this. Because this is what unsaved people do. Because guess what we've been since salvation? Made a new creature. We've been redeemed. We've been born again. So we've been, if you will, in for all intents and purposes, restored to what it was like before sin entered in. Now understand, we still deal with sin. But can we now have the mind of God? Yes. Can we live a life that's pleasing to God because of salvation? So you see, we've been restored. We are a new creature in Christ if we'll live after the Spirit like we're supposed to and not after the flesh like we're not supposed to. So what James is saying here, he says, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. So if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring in goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, he says, receive both of them. Don't say to the guy that looks nice, here, you sit here in the front here, and to the guy that doesn't look nice, well, could you stand close to the door by the foyer so... Well, seat them both together. How about that? Yeah, I mean, but don't treat one better than the other. Because think about this. When Jesus in his ministry, how did he deal with people? Did he deal with the blind and the poor and the maimed and the halt and the ones with leprosy? Yes, he did. Did he deal with the ones who were of wealth? And yes, he did. We need to be the same in our treatment of others. In verse 3 it says, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. He said, are you not then partial in yourselves, and are become the judges of evil thoughts? My mind in thinking about this goes to the record of the rich man and Lazarus. I don't even like to call it a story because it's not a parable. It's not a story. It's not a work of fiction. It is a record that the rich man died and the beggar died. And guess what? It was opposite of what was here on this earth in eternity. Now, in no way, shape, or form is James saying that being rich is bad. He's not saying that. But it does say and contend in Scripture that oftentimes those who are rich are not mindful toward God. Why? Because they have what they need. Now, I hope that's not the case. If you are of some sort of means, it doesn't have to be that way. But doesn't God know human nature pretty well? And I keep telling myself that's why I don't have $1 million. Because God knows that I couldn't handle having $1 million. So you know what? That's okay. I'm okay with that. I have $30. That's about the extent of my wealth. And but that's all right. I'm happy. Can you see that? Okay. But you know what? Just because you're of wealth doesn't mean that you can't go to heaven. You understand that. That's not what this is saying. But he does say that oftentimes this thing of being poor or being rich, as far as the physical standpoint goes, does cause a little bit of a difficulty. because of human nature. And what's he telling the church? Avoid this. He says, if you have this faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, do not have it with respect of persons. A lot of times, folks will, and listen, we as a church have standards. Standards of separation that we believe are true and right according to the Word of God. But you know what I'm not going to do? I'm not going to berate somebody because they don't come to church dressed right. Why would I do that? Well, but it's the truth, bless God. Okay. It's the truth. But last I checked, we should speak the truth in love. And our speech should always be seasoned with, yeah. We are better than this. Than just beating people up, right? Because of their circumstances. And, you know, do we know why someone is poor and doesn't have the right clothing to wear? Is it because they're sinning against God and they're willfully not? Now, maybe that's the case, but am I supposed to be the judge of that? Look what James says. He says, are you not then partial in yourselves and are become judges of evil thoughts? You're becoming the judge. Who's the judge? God's the judge. Now, is it wrong to say, hey, we should dress this way, or we should do this, or we should give our best to the Lord? No, that's not wrong at all. But we shouldn't be that respecter of persons. God wants us to create an atmosphere in the local church where there's fellowship, love, concern, and kindness toward one another. Yes, we're supposed to stand up for truth and right. And it's okay to say something, but we don't have to be ugly about it. We don't have to be mean about it. Last I checked, the Bible says when a brother or sister in Christ comes into a circumstance, it says, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one. Now, we're not to just lay down and not do anything, but we're supposed to have a different spirit about us because of salvation. He says, if the person comes in that's in vile raiment, receive him. If the person comes in and he has a ring on his finger and he has this special clothing, this nice clothing, and again, these are we're talking about words that used to mean something else in our language, this gay clothing. Okay, that doesn't mean skinny jeans. Yes, I did take a shot there. Okay, I did it on purpose. I think skinny jeans are an abomination, for sure. I'm sorry if you're wearing skinny jeans tonight. I'm not sorry. Okay. Now, anyways, that just meant the nice clothing, attire of those who were wealthy in that day, and so we're supposed to receive them, and we're supposed to do our part as brothers and sisters in Christ. In Acts chapter 2, 3,000 people got saved. And they were all perfect. And they were all rich. And they were all well off. And they were all just following down, right down the line, just like they were supposed to. And so they were received into the church. Right? Wrong. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking of bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. You know, as the church is scattered abroad, and no doubt God was doing a great work amongst these people, James is warning them of some of the pitfalls that they're about to encounter along the path. And can I say to you, church, listen, this is not a corrective message by any stretch of the imagination to our church. I think our church is a very welcoming church, a very friendly church. And I commend all of you for that. But we need to keep that kind of an attitude. We need to have that kind of and love people where they are and understand that, hey, I had to grow at some point in my life, so do they. You say, well, what about church discipline? That's when someone is willingly against what God, and they're not willing to move off it. That's how. But where's our love, and where's our compassion? Where's our attitude of not respecting persons? You see, when we have saving faith and pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father, which was verse 27, when we have that kind of attitude, it shows in our life. That's why James can say in verse 1 that have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to persons. Saving faith is always revealed to mankind by our works. How are we supposed to know people? By their fruit. We shouldn't say, do what I say and not what I do, right? We should say, do what I say and do what I do, right? Be not hearers of the word only, but doers. This man shall be blessed in his deed. So you understand that chapter 1, he's telling them, hey, this is how you're supposed to live. But your saving faith, this faith that you have, this pure religion that's undefiled before God and the Father, is revealed to mankind by our good works. It affects our hearing and our doing. Because if we look at ourselves and forget what manner of man we are, right? You remember what we went through in chapter 1, right? This saving faith, it affects our spirit and our attitude. Ooh, I like that sound. Don't you? No, somebody didn't drop a hymnal. It's thundering out there, okay? It's good. Saving faith affects our spirit and our attitude. Is our spirit and attitude toward others affected? Because guess what? Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. And then what does the rest of that verse in that passage go on to say? It talks about Christ's sacrifice. Are we willing to sacrifice for others? Or are we going to be a respecter of persons? Hey, saving faith affects our relationship when it's according to the world and sin. Do we have an adverse relationship toward the world and sin? Because that's the kind of relationship we should have. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, right? We're not supposed to love those. But you know what? It also affects our relationship when it comes to God and the Word of God. Are we going to balk every time something comes up that we don't, oh, I don't know if I want to do that? Or are we going to readily be changed and transformed by the Word of God? Saving faith affects our relationship as it pertains to what we do and what we say. It also affects our relationship when it comes to others. Respect of persons, in literal terms, means to judge people by appearance, possessions, education, race, or some other point of discrimination. Did you hear that? Oh, okay. I'm like, hope the roof isn't leaking. It sounded like a raindrop or a drop in a bucket or something to me. I don't know. Okay. Anyways, a pop. Okay. Now, things don't usually distract me, but I guess I'm distracted tonight. I don't know why. But anyways, that's what it means. But you understand, discrimination is not a bad thing. In our world today, discrimination is a buzzword, isn't it? Yeah. But you know what? We discriminate every day. Every day when I get in my vehicle, I discriminate against Chevys. Don't I, Brother Parks, don't I do that? Just like he discriminates against Fords every time he gets in his Chevy. I discriminated out of all the suits in my closet. I discriminated against all the other ones, and I chose this one. And all the rest of my suits are in my closet just weeping, and they're sad. Poor suits. I chose to wear these shoes today, not the other shoes that I have. You know, that's it's such a ridiculous thing. But what's not ridiculous is being a respecter of persons. God says don't do it. Don't choose one person over another because of their appearance or because of their possessions or because of this or because of that. We shouldn't live that kind of life. So we need to make sure that we are not despising some because of these things. Now, let me just turn this on its head a little bit. Just because the Bible has much to speak about caring for the poor, supporting the poor, providing for the poor, which I'm for. Don't go to the other side and accept all the poor people and discriminate. I'm going to use that word because it's fun to use the world's words against them. Be a respecter of persons against the rich. Same thing, right? Don't do it either way. And so we need to make sure that we are having the right heart in the matter on these things. You understand what God told Samuel when he was looking for the next king. You know, Saul was brought to Samuel by God to be the first king of Israel. Woo! All right, that was close. I saw that one in the reflection there. And I think our sound system is snapping. We do have, what's it called? Surge protection. Okay, so we're good. So Brother Losey's going to go back and check on it over there. I bought a good one, Brother Losey. I think it'll protect the equipment pretty well. That's where the popping is coming from. Now I see it. Okay, I've seen it. Now, what was I talking about? Oh, David. Saul was brought to Samuel, right? Head and shoulders. Now, this is a king. And then he goes to this little town and this family and he sees all these worthy, if you will, by physical stature, young men of this man's family. And God says, no, 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 no. Oh, give me the runt of the litter. Not him. He can't be the one. That's the one. And Samuel told Saul, he said, God told Samuel, look not on his countenance or the height of his stature, because I have refused him, talking about Eliab, for the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. So as he goes through, and we're going to talk a little bit more about this, kind of giving you a little bit of an introduction to these 13 verses. As we look at these things, we need to get our thoughts right. God doesn't look on the outward appearance. We do. God looks on the heart, and that's what we should be concerned with as well. You understand that you and I know ourselves pretty well, right? You know you pretty well. I know me pretty well. Why are other people different than you? Don't some of them go through the same struggles and difficulties that you go through or went through or will go through? So why would we judge others by their appearance? Why would we judge others by their circumstances? That sounds like a gully washer. Yo, that's a Texas term, right? Is it Southern? Is it, that's a good term. Okay. We need to have the right kind of attitude as we approach this idea. James is trying to encourage the Christians as they go from city to city, place to place, as they meet new people, as they start churches, as they see people come to know Christ as their Savior, they see people's lives transformed, and they say, he says, hey, whether they be poor or whether they be rich, whether they be heathen or whether they be righteous, it doesn't matter. Don't be a respecter of persons if you're a Christian. He says, we need to make sure that we do not despise the poor. And remember, he says, there's these others that have this, the sometimes rich ones are the ones that are going to oppress you and draw you before the judgment seat. He said, but we need to love our neighbor as ourselves. He says, ye do well. As we close tonight, I just want to encourage you that we need to be the ones that are looking for the ones that were like us. Poor and needy, lost in sin, and they need a Savior. How much did you know about God before you got saved? Probably not much. So what do you expect of others? Not much. I think sometimes we forget. You understand, the longer that we're saved and the more we go through things and God blesses us, sometimes we become rich. And in becoming rich, we forget what it's like to be poor. And that gives us a different mindset. And we start to despise the poor. Everybody understand what I'm talking about? We've got to fight against that. We need to have the same mind that Christ had. And we need to make sure that in all areas of our lives, we're not doing these things with respect of purpose, with respect of persons. He says that if we do so, we will do well.